Okay, so we are, I think we pretty much finished Sif Beis last week. We're in Siman Reish Pei Vav, Sif Gimel. So the tour actually puts some things together here, which at first seem odd, but then we sort of understand what it's doing. The Beis Yosef, the tour, probably easiest just to read out of there, writes, I thought your siblings were locking the door when they left. All right. Hi, everybody. So the tour here says Beis Knesses Shel Kfarim Stam Chayvin, right, that a Beis Knesses of the Kfarim are generally Chayiv, the Mistama Darimba, the Shel Krachim Im Yishba Beis Dira L'chazen Chayivim Lav Patek. Okay, so the tour says that a shul, does a shul require a mezuzah? So it says, well, it depends. If it's a, you want to turn the fan towards me? If it's in the kfarim, meaning if it's in like the villages, far in the villages, so then it does. Why? Because then we assume that there are going to be people that live there regularly, meaning where are people going to end up, you know, if you show up in town, so you'll just sleep in the shul one night, right? That's, I was, we'll do that off recording. They'll just sleep in the shul one night, right? It's fine. You can leave it there. But if it's in the city, so then it depends. If the chazan lives there, so then chayiv, so then you'd be chayiv. Arvim lav pater. But if no one's living there, so then a shul is exempt from a mezuzah. Aval beis hakiseh, ubeis hamerchatz, ubeis haborski, ubeis hatfila, ubeis haknesses, she'en ba beis dira, l'chazan peturim. But if you have a beis hakiseh, right, a bathroom, a bathhouse, a borski is a leather tanning place, ubeis hatfila, I'm not sure the difference between a beis hamerchatz and a beis hatfila, but also a place used for washing, ubeis haknesses she'en ba dira, nobody is living l'chazan, right, peturim. So kemen she'en behen beis dira, because nobody is actually living there. Now, last week we spoke about that according to all the Rishonim except for the Rambam, so plenty of places that people aren't living in are chayiv in a mezuzah, right? Like the barn and the storage units and things like that. All of them are chayiv. So just the issue of kevan she'ein behen beis dira, because no one is living there, is probably not sufficient to exempt from mezuzah, because those things are also ein beis dira. Rather, it's probably something more. So the Beis Yosef here says on the bottom here, Dalid, right? Beis kaknesses shel kvarim. So it says the Beis Yosef Brisa Sham. It's a Brisa over there in Maseches Yuma. Pligi Rabbi Meir v'Chachamim v'Alacha Chachamim the Patri, that all these things are going to be Patr. K'she'en behen Beis Dira l'Chazen Upeirish Rabbeinu. So the tour explains lo Pligi El Bishel Krachim. That right. So this is the tour's edition. The Gemara doesn't make that distinction between village shuls and city shuls, but the tour makes that point, meaning if you're in a village, so in the village, that's the minhag. Everybody, whoever's traveling through town needs a place to stay, so they just plop themselves down in the shul and sleep there. So therefore, because there's constantly travelers going through, so therefore it should be chayv and mezuzah. Aval b'shel kfarim istama darim ba'orchim, right? The ein yom maseges liyachad beis pais l'orchim, because they're not able to find a hotel, right? The cities don't have places. V'chein kasva rifa rashva ramba mehilchas mezuzah. And everybody agrees to that distinction. So then, what about a shul versus a bathroom, right? The two extremes here. So the Gemara says, Gemara farish taima that apal gav the asui ladira, but inan sheyhu asuyin ladiras kavod. It needs to be for diras kavod, right? Not just for some place where people live, and not just that supports people living there, but it has to be a kavodika place. Vahani, in these places came to nafish du aminhu, Einan shel dira kavod kedepricious besamach. It's not considered a dira shel kavod in those particular places, as we'll explain shortly. Not sure what they're getting to, but while we're on the, not sure where
One comment, and that's the reason we used to make kiddush on Friday night for the people that used to be living in the shul. Be eating the shul or living in the shul or what?
So that goes all the way. Fine. So that goes all the way back to the time of the Gemara, that if there's a description of people of making kiddush in the shul, and that is the reason, because people were living there, or people were eating there, or people were, that's all sorts of stuff going on. So actually they point out that it's only in the Bavli, it's not in the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi does not record the practice of davening, of having kiddush in shul. And many suggest that that's the reason, because in Eretz Yisrael they were better at doing hachnasas orchim, right? They wouldn't think of anybody staying in the shul. So there are shuls that have a friend of mine. He was the first rabbi of a shul, and he asked the posek about should we do kiddush in shul, and he said no. That shuls that have the minhag, it's good to maintain it. But if you're starting a new shul, then it makes sense not to. I mean, this is already discussed in the time of the Rishonim. They're arguing about this issue, about whether you should have a kiddush in shul or not, right? If people aren't living there anymore. But I guess we see still during the time of the tour, right? So the tour is living in the 14th century Spain. So apparently this minhag was still continuing of people living in the shul. Even at times other than, I mean, even today we've had experiences of people living in the shul, when their heat was out or things like that. I would add also, it's not just about living the shul, it's also, I mean, the context of the Gemara's question there in Pesachim is, how are people yotze kiddush at shul if they're not going to be eating the duration of their meal there? Right, that's how the Gemara frames that question. But it could be that it's not just, there is a need of, what are you yotze if you just make kiddush and you have a cookie, right, and you don't do lecha mishnah? So are you yotze anything? Are you yotze kiddush then? So probably you are. So that could also be another reason to have kiddush in shul, to be yotze the people, not necessarily don't have a place to go, but the people that are not going to go home and make kiddush, right? So that's also perhaps how the minhag became maybe stronger in America. I mean, in yeshivas, they don't do it, I don't think. I doubt in Yeshiva Philadelphia they're making kiddush and shul on Friday night. But shuls should have mainly maintained that practice. Okay, so the drisha here on the bottom, right? We alluded to this last week, but we hadn't actually put in the kai. I think the Shach quoted this drisha, and on page Rishon and Tes, which is, I think, page 2, so probably the best start is where it says Vihinei. So on the right column, it says Vihinei. So Klal Dvarim Hu, right? What is the rule? Especially when you're putting shuls and bathrooms in the same halacha here. So what's the rule? What are they trying to point out? So he says, the rule is the Heicha Deika Kedusha or Heicha Deika Makum HaTinofes, that where there is Kedusha or where there is Tinofes. As beinan beis dira mamishi der botamid. So then it needs to be a place where people are living. Meaning, if there is a place with dirt, but people are living there, tinofis is excrement or something like that, but people are still living there, so then it should have a mezuzah. Why would people be living in a room where there is excrement? Well, I don't know, if you have children and they're in diapers, right? So that's still existing. So you're going to say, well, because they have a garbage that has diapers in that room, so we're not going to put a mezuzah on the baby's room? No, that's a beis dira, meaning it's a beis dira that has tinofes in it. Similarly to a shul, right? A shul is kedusha, but if it has a beis dira in it, so then it's going to be chayv in mezuzah. Aval heicha deleika charmi hanach, but when you don't have those, could go in beis umatvin. For example, I'm not sure what the matvin was. What was the matvin? I don't remember. The chol honey delel. I mean, all those that are mentioned earlier. Afilu einam darim shamamish. Even if people aren't living there, came the yotzim v'nichnasim bam chasher beis dira. That even though there are not people living there, right? Since people are going in and going out. So chasher beis dira, it's considered to be a beis dira as well. My people aren't completely v'chol ani del el, meaning in beis. I mean, we talk about the warehouses and things like that. So there are people going in and going out. So we're going to call that a beis dira as well. Ulahachi lo klal rabenu b'hadi hanach dinim gam kein din beis haknesses. That's why he didn't include those with the shul. She'im ba beis dira. That's not a beis dira at all. Afapi shasham b'gemara lo hiskiru. Even though it's not mentioned in the Gemara, v'seder rabenu hadinim lefi taima daha chad tam islehu. But it has one reasoning. I mean, it's the same thing. Meaning, if it has a lot of kedusha or it has a lot of excrement, right? It's the same thing. People aren't going to be living there regularly, and therefore the tour put them in the same category, as odd as it is. Right? Ul'el minei lo husker rabbeinu din beis haknesses, el k'dei l'chalik bein stam l'stam, right? The haynu bein krachim l'chvarim, and the reason I mentioned shul earlier was just to distinguish between city shuls versus village shuls. We call makom ha yosim yiduchtuk im hayakosev haychiluk achar mashakasa beis hakise. Although, says the Drisha, it would have made sense to make that distinction later on after mentioned shul, right? He's picking up on the fact that it's a little odd that beis haknesses is mentioned twice here, so he explains why that is. So beis haknesses is really in the bathroom category, but he wanted to get the line in about distinguishing between different types of shuls. Okay, so that's the rule that is mentioned by the Drisha. So now in the Shulchan Aruch here, so what have we got? So Shulchan Aruch, we're in Sif Gimel, so I guess that's page 3. So it says, Beis HaKnesses, Im Yesh Bo Dira, L'Shum Adam Chai V'Mezuzah. If there is a Dira for anybody, anybody's living there, so it would be Chai V'Mezuzah. The Piskei Tshuva sends you to a Chsam Sofer, but I didn't have a chance to look that up. I'm not sure what he's alluding to. But V'Im Beis Dira Ba'Zara, Shulifnei Beis HaKnesses, Hazara Chayeves V'Beis HaKnesses Pater. Right, what about if you have a lobby? Or I don't know, that's really what Beis Dira really means, somebody who's living there. But I think we normally assume a lobby, meaning where other things are done, meaning the reason a shul is exempt is because of its kedusha status. But if you have a lobby where people eat and it's not considered a place of kedusha, so then lechora it should be chayiv. Now there is this issue that I've been struggling with over the last couple of weeks and trying to figure out, so who's chayiv? Right, I was sort of thinking about. I mean, a couple of years ago, the JCC came to me and asked me to sort of do markings on their doors, like figure out what needs mezuzahs and what doesn't. So I'm like wondering, so who's actually chayiv in this mezuzah? Or truth is, even in a shul, or my first job that I had, the job that got mezuzah and more started was the JFCS building that went up on Montgomery. That was the first thing I did. Right, so. Like what? Who actually is chayiv this? So this became a little bit more a little bit more lemaisa, because generally the practice is to put mezuzahs in these places. But it's actually it came up in a different context recently, because I was examining the hafrashas chala regulations that we have in the JFCS building. Because they have that kitchen there, they have this like working kitchen there, and we do have the practice of sending in a mashkiach whenever they want to start cooking to turn the ovens on and to make sure everything is good in order to take challah. But there are some hilachos and challah. We'll get to this. I don't know. Let me go up to hilachos challah. There are some things that you have to take challah off after you've made the dough. If it's a liquid dough, meaning like a dough that you pour for cakes. So that would require, you would take challah on that after it's already baked. Now, it doesn't really come up in the house at all, because when are you ever going to use 5 pounds of flour to make a pouring batter? But, right, that's not really going to happen in someone's house. But in a bakery, that A, could come up in a bakery. And B, as we'll learn, that if things are stored together, that could then create a chiyuv of challah also. So I started like thinking about, wait a second, how are we being yotzei the mitzvah, the challah separation in this place if they're not chayiv until after the mashkiach leaves? Or sometimes the obligation creates itself when they might go and they might make tons of muffins or something, not tons, but you know, they might end up using several pounds of flour in muffins and then store it someplace together, right? So that actually is a issue. And then I started thinking, but hey, wait a second, who actually owns that challah? Meaning, who is chayiv to separate that challah? Especially when you assume challah is something that the kohen always has to prove to be able to take. It's almost like a motzi mechavira lavaraya aspect to it, because there's a somewhat of a monetary aspect. So it's a little unclear. So I actually came across, I sent to the OU, meaning, and what makes things a little more complex. So A, you have a question in the shul, meaning who actually owns the shul. Does Joel Horowitz own the shul? Does the executive board own the shul? Does the membership own the shul? Does the rabbi own the shul? Right? So the answer is probably none of the above. So who actually would have the responsibility of separating challah in these situations? So I actually asked the OU about it. The OU actually, Paskins Lemaisa, that if there is a joint ownership between a Jew and a non-Jew at all, meaning in terms of a company or in a non-profit board, that A, you're putter from challah, and B, you're putter from tefilas kelim, in these types of situations, if there's a non-Jew on the board. So with JFCS, I actually checked my JFCS sources, who told me that currently there probably are some halachic non-Jews on the board, but even if you don't want to go there, there are they were changing their bylaws to permit non-Jews on the board this go-around. So now there actually are currently non-Jews on the board, and l'chor, they are probably exempt from challah. So I will be changing their processes shortly. So anyways, I had the same question with regards to the mezuzah, meaning who owns the building that actually has a chiyuv to put it up. So truth is, that we got to, I think, last week when we discussed the idea of putting a mezuzah on the gateway to the city, right? So who has that responsibility? Or if you have an apartment building, so an apartment building that's all Jewish, meaning you go to, if you go in Israel, right, so you'll see all the apartment buildings have a mezuzah on the door. So who has that chiyuv of putting it up? So that's a little bit different than a shul. Right there, you assume that the owners of the apartments in the building jointly own the chatzir in the building. So therefore, they all have a role to play in that building. A shul is even less than that, though, right? Because a shul is probably not jointly owned by its members. It's like its own entity. It's a corporate entity that is separate from the members. So I'm not sure. I don't have a great answer to that. But Rav Moshe, when we learned Hilchos Ribbis, that issue came up. Rav Moshe has a tshuva where he talks about lending to Jewish corporations. I forgot which direction it went. It was only in one direction. I think giving two corporations, I think that was it, where he said that you're technically, that technically there's not going to be a ribbis violation because it's not actually owned by anybody. You're not lending to a Jew, you're lending to a corporation. And corporations are not Jewish. Despite what some political campaign, I think, what is it, Mitt Romney said, corporations are people too, or something like that, got in all sorts of trouble.
It's a ruling by the Supreme Court. I'm not sure what the ramifications are. I'm not a legalist, so.
Right. So, but halachically, it's probably not. I mean, if you don't actually have a responsibility for it, it's probably not. So, anyways, I it's unclear. But anyways, certainly the practices in shuls to have mezuzahs, even in the shul buildings themselves, the Beis HaKnesses itself, is to have mezuzahs, because people are generally willing to give a lot of money to make sure they have one there with a plaque under it, and B, because most of our shuls are used for other events as well. Yeah.
So, in Chicago, there was a shul that was owned by, I'm for sure he passed away, as Rabbi Rosenthal. He owned the shul. The shul was
it. Right. Right, that is a thing.
He had the responsibility.
Right. Now, so then that is a thing. If you have a shtiebel in your house, so yeah, so it's going to be your responsibility, for sure. Okay, so that is the issue with the shul. So the Shulchan Aruch did us the favor of splitting up the shuls from the bathroom issue. Ubeis HaKisei, Ubeis HaMerchatz, Ubeis HaBorski, Ubeis HaTvila, Peturim, Lefi She'enam Asuyim L'Diras Kavod. But a bathroom, a bathhouse, a leather tanning space, and a base tefillah, they're all exempt, right? Because they're not made for diras kavod. So there's not much. Yeah. So there is a bit of a discussion here in the Piskei Tshuva. The Piskei Tshuva. Actually, you know, before we do that. Yeah. So if you see the Shach here says that Perush that af im mechase hamezuzah, right, even if you cover the mezuzah, d'lo yeh mishum bizayon, such that it not be right, there's a bizayon issue, and then there is the room chayev in it or not. So this covering the mezuzah thing is something that we'll get to in the next sif. But he says even if you cover it up, it's still not going to be chayv and mezuzah, right? Because because mikol malkum came into einam asuim l'diras kavod peturim mea mezuzah ve'ein lasos sham mezuzah. Because it's not for diras kavod, it's going to be putter from a mezuzah. The truth is, I was thinking that perhaps this is what exempts those sheds, right? That if you have a storage room that has like normal walls, that's in the house, so we're going to say that that's going to be chayv and a mezuzah. But this, you could say a shed, right? Or you know, like those rooms outside the rooms, right? Where that Einam Asuyim Ladiras Kavod at all, maybe that's what you could use to exempt those types of storage units from a mezuzah. Vein lasos ba mezuzah, and therefore you wouldn't do a mezuzah on it. Now the Piskei Tshuva here makes a comment about hamerchatz. What's the story with the merchatz? Well, not necessarily the merchatz, but in general, ayin b'tshuvas aleph aleph zayin. Not panim meiros chelik aleph sheim asu shinui maisa begufu shel merchatz. Va'akru hatanur v'chiyotze va'asu oso bayis mutter lador bo ulavarech ulaniach b'pischa mezuzah. He said, if you change the room, meaning it's no longer a bathroom, right? And you move the, and this is the part I wasn't sure about, you move the oven. I'm not sure what your oven is doing in the bathroom. This is before the days of indoor plumbing. I'm not actually sure what they're talking about. But if you move the room around, so then you change the room. And if you change the room, so then it would go being a mezuzah. You put up a mezuzah with a bracha. Finally, Bechein B'Sefer Chamudi Daniel, right? Talking about a maltzhoiz. So I don't know I couldn't figure out what a maltzhoiz was, but the maltzhoiz is quoted in Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Pesach. Is talked about in the Mishnah Brura in Hilchos Pesach. So I think based on the context there in Hilchos Pesach, I think it's talking about a some kind of distillery. So if you have some kind of distillery in the room, she'osim imenu l'pamim merchatz, and pam achas obeis bashana chayiv b'mezuzah. So usually it's a beis hamerchatz, and once or twice a year. Sorry. Usually it is it's holding the beer, but when it's not holding beer, so then you use it for a bathtub, right?
So that's probably when you make beer. I've seen people making beer at home. They need a big container cask.
Right.
Beer while it's going through its process.
Right.
They probably have a bathtub that they use for their beer.
Right. So the discussion. Right. Exactly. Right. That's what they're doing. So once or twice a year, you use it for a bathtub. So he says. So that doesn't make it a beer samerchat. That makes it a distillery. And therefore, it should be. You would still put the put a mezuzah there. But when you use it for a bathroom, so then you should cover it up b'shava. You should cover it up with wax or cover up the mezuzah. Because then it would be considered a thing. But they say, oh, by the way, you're allowed to daven there too. The context in Pesachim is if you have a beer thing and you clear it out for get rid of the beer for Pesach, it's chametz. But meanwhile, the kli is a chametz kli. He says, can you use it for a bathtub on Pesach, right? There's a nen nemei chametz, or can you use it for washing dishes on Pesach, right? So Mishnah Berurah there says that it's, I believe, says it's okay if it's water cold, etc. So anyways, so I was thinking I didn't remember for sure, but our first house in Phoenix, right? We had two bathrooms. One bathroom was, the bedroom bathroom where, and then there was another bathroom off the kitchen, which I believe had our washing machine in it.
Yeah.
Right? You remember that? The dryer was outside, right? You didn't have to, but the washing machine was in the bathroom right off the kitchen. So I was wondering, wait a second, maybe that needed a mezuzah, because it was probably used more as a washing machine room, and it was a pretty big room, too, I remember. So it was probably used more. What?
Have two doors. You can go from either side.
That's right. It was right next to the guest room too. That's the other thing. However, the rules here is not which you use more. The rules here seem to be if you only use it as a bathroom once or twice a year. Right. So that's. I think one of Chani's houses also had a toilet in the laundry room or something like that. Right. Like in Springfield, I think the old. Right. So I think it's the same thing. It doesn't go based on majority. It just goes if it's used as a bathroom on a regular basis. So then it would be. A problem. There is a whole question about bathrooms today, about what their status is lahalacha, because bathrooms are. Because they are used to be a room used to, to take care of one's needs. So there was a pot, right, and you dropped it in the pot, and it sat there in the pot, right. But nowadays, you use a toilet, right. After you're done with the toilet, you flush the toilet, and everything's gone, right. So there is a question whether today's bathrooms really have the same halachic status as the bathrooms in the good old days. But and here it's probably about, it's not just about the about what's in the room, at least at this stage, it's also probably about what you do in the room. So what you do in the room probably already makes it enough that it's not going to be considered a Beis Dira even today. Okay? And then there is... Okay. And then there is a Sif Hei. Now, Sif Hei here says, right, B'makum Shiyesh Tinuf. What about a place where there is Tinuf? Meaning the you know, there is a diaper pail in the room. So, Kigon, Shetinokus Mitsuya Sham Tov. That there is, that the babies are found there a lot. Right? Lichsos HaMezuzah. So then you should cover the mezuzah. Did I mess up? What?
Oh,
sham, right? Mitsuyim sham, kama. That's how it is. So tov. So then it's good to cover the mezuzah, right? Uvamakum tara tov lios niris. But if it's a, but otherwise, says the Shulchan Aruch, if it's a makum tara, if it's not one of these places that have tinofas there, it's good that the mezuzah be seen. So it sounds like use a clear case or something like that. So. What's going on here? So this is that case, right? That rule that the Drisha made, that even if it is a Beis Dira, even if there is some Tinofes there, it would still be something that is chayiv in a mezuzah. So so the Taz Yeah, okay, the tour, okay, so let's do the first Taz and Dal makes the point that it could be that if it's above 10 Tvachim, you might be good anyways. But the Taz Hey here about covering it, right, Makom Tara Tov Lios Niris. So, but if it is a place of Tara, it should be seen. So the Taz here gets into the issue of mezuzah cases. Right, the Taz says nearly the ain lasso shatia near a beliki suiklal. He says, yeah, it should be seen, but it's not like it should be seen without a cover, just to stick a mezuzah roll on the wall, right? So that's inappropriate, right? The nimshach mizeh avera, because that's going to cause an avera. The bechol pam shemishamshin ba bechnisa v'yitzia mochek ma'at. Plus, every time you go in and out, so you touch it, and you're gonna erase a little bit. Mishem shin dalad yud. From the Shin Dalad Yud that is out there. The Shin Dalad Yud is supposed to be facing towards the outside, at least when it could be seen. So if every time you touch the mezuzah, you touch the Shin Dalad Yud, you're going to be erasing it. So besides the fact that you're erasing it from the mezuzah, and it should be on the mezuzah, you're also doing an act of mechikas Hashem, right? You're erasing the name of Hashem, which is a big no-no. So Ashen Nimcha Kagamri Achar Zman Rav. It's going to be erased. So Kamoshan Rome, like we see Beruv Batim in many houses. El Yachnis Sham Chatichas Zuchuchis. Rather, you should put a piece of glass there, right? Memele Yeh Hashem Nira, and therefore the name will be able to be seen through the glass. Uvaze batla gamkein tainas hamakilim basias mezuzah machmas shematzui shantinofas svivas hamakom. And this will also be mevatel those that are makil about making mezuzahs because of all the tinofas that are that is found. So what's this talking about? So it seems pretty clear that during the time of the Rishonim, people had one mezuzah on their house and that's it. In fact, in the back of the Sefer Chovas Hadar, it will probably cover in Shulchan Aruch, I guess when we get up to the Dalet Amos thing, I think that's the, I'm not sure where the Dalet Amos is discussed, but we'll discuss that issue. It seems like the assumption during the time of the Rishonim, many people during the time of the Rishonim had the assumption that you only needed one mezuzah for the entire house. In fact, there's a question, there's a shaila that was asked to the Maharil. So the Maharil is an early Rishon. It actually was printed in the back of the Chovas Hadar, where the Maharil is asked that, is it yuhara to put a mezuzah on every door in your house? Yuhara meaning haughty. the assumption being, like, obviously I'm not obligated to do it, right? It must be like there's a chumrah to do it. But would that be you, Arab, because other people don't do it? And that's what Mariel says. He says, I don't know why it can't be you, Arab. That's what you're chayev to do. Every room that is talad by dalad requires a mezuzah. So therefore, we would never call it you, Arab, even if many people are not, doing it. So apparently this was like still fought about, right? That seems to be what the Taz is alluding to here, right? There are still people who argued, well, maybe you shouldn't have a mezuzah on every door because there's going to be a tinofes in the room. There's going to be this in the room, that in the room. So he says, what do you mean? Just because there's tinofes in the room, it doesn't mean that it should therefore be totally exempt from mezuzah. Right, so the pamim or there are women who bathe there sometimes. Derech harai, the bezeh have a mechusa. Right, maybe it should be covered. But afagav shenir v'rayim and deisa ba'orachayim siminayin vav tzavah ba'ashashis mutter likros kriyashma kenegda. He says, but I'll bring you a proof because we learned in Orachayim that if you have tzavah, if there's human waste on the other side of the glass, you could see it, but you can't. But you're separated from it. So fine. So that's still mutter to do tefillah there. Afli shiro, even though you see it. So to hear, even though you see it, there's no psul necessarily just from the fact that there is tzava in the room. The only way that it would be exempt is what we mentioned earlier, if that makes the room unlivable, that there's nobody actually living in that room. He adds a few more things here. I tell you, Rechman, Baha Mitzchasa, Behu Adinami Kanchu Lehepich, came into Mitzchasa, Hashem, Ein Kan Isser, Delav, Beria Talia Milsa, Vakavachor, Meshahila Malam, Yudfachim, Dahavakir Shusa Cheres, Koshakasa Vasmag, if you base Yosef, Eloyat Sarach, Afil, Luchisui Zachuchis, El Dezehu Tzara Yosir Tov. He says, there is a Shita from the Smag that if it's above 10 Tfachim high, you don't have to worry about it anymore, and therefore you could even have it open. He says, yeah, but it's better for it to have it be a closed case. Uvachedish Ishvi Ishto Sham, Yichasam Zuza Beshava. He says, however, if it's a room where man and woman sleep together, so then it should be covered b'shava, with wax or whatever, something that's going to be non-transparent, as the Beis Yosef says, name is Smag B'Shem Yuva, Linyan Im Tinofes, Matsu Sham, V'chein Yesh Lasus B'cheder Anal, Ki Bezel Lo Dai Kisui Zechuches, Kevin Diyesh Sham Tashmish, because it's not enough to just have a kisui, plus there is actual tashmish there. And it says, "Velo yer b'cha ervas davar k'mod amarta erva b'ashashis aser likros kriyashma kenegda." Right, that and that would be an issue of erva, which is considered worse. And therefore, rooms that have a where a husband and wife sleep together, and I would add in also probably bedrooms where people change their clothes, you should have the mezuzah, you shouldn't have glass mezuzah or plastic see-through mezuzahs, you should have solid mezuzahs over there.
No obligation to have where you can uncovered or visible or transparent mezuzah cases.
So is there an obligation? I don't know, he says tov, he says it's a good idea. I think that good idea is because of the Shin Dalad Yud. I don't know. I don't know what to go. I don't know what to go beyond that. I mean, we don't have all see-through cases. I would add, by the way, just practical notes. See-through cases should never be used outside because the sun can destroy whatever. Actually, any place outside where the sun will get in, and it shouldn't be used in bathrooms. But other than that. It says tov. It says it's a good thing to be able to see the mezuzah itself. What else do we got here? So the Piskei Tshuva adds in, so this story of Lichsos, so in Piskei Tshuva Zion here, so we just do Zion Ches, I guess that would call it a night. So Zion B'Sefer Yad HaKtana Perek Gimel Hilchus Mezuzah Osiyot Gimel Shekhas Dechol Zeh Mayri Kashe Yizdamin L'Pamim B'Mikra Eze Dover Metuna Fuhu Mukhras L'Yos Neged HaMezuzah. He says this is if, you know, every once in a while it happens that there's some, waste in there. D'Hainu She'iyah Sharbein Yin Acher. O Dino Lichsos Aval Chalila Asos B'Kfiyas Shum Dover B'Zayon Neged HaMezuzah V'Lismo Chalakisui. But Chalila, you shouldn't, with Kfiyas, make it so that you're regularly having these things done with a mezuzah present, and just rely on the covering. Right, or to have like a place where I guess where you pour out your, the pans, or the What? Right. So something like that. So it shouldn't, you know, it's something once in a while, but you shouldn't regularly have it being done from the mezuzah, even if the mezuzah is covered. That seems to be what he is saying here. You know, whether that, we talked last week about hospital rooms and stuff. Does this have relevance for that? Yeah, I'm not sure. Pischei tshuva ches lios, and then niris ha'ayin berheitev b'shem taz ma'ashakasev rak b'cheder v'ayimagin avram simen mem sifkat nebe shakasev dal kain tzarech lomar. We talked about this in Hilchos Sefer Torah. The mayar afilu para sudar aleha the bekli echad pshita da'aser, that even if you cover it, if it's one kli, it's still going to be a problem. V'al zech cholek v'daisu d'mahani kisui zechuchis v'alav kisui acher. He says this idea that you need a double covering if there's tashmish in the room, if a husband, you know, if a man and woman are sleeping together there. So the Magen Avraham says there are those who say that a covering doesn't count as a covering at all. But then he changes and says, no. If you have one see-through covering and one solid covering, he says that's enough. And that's what the Mishnah Berurah passing says as well on page 5. Hayin Shavayim is Sefer Chumas Yerushalayim. Mode bezev ein oser ki im bekisui zechuchas levad. The only problem is if it's only see-through, v'chitema pshita, that filu she'en zechuchas aser kliyacha. And if you say, well, that's obvious, even if it's not zechuchas, it would be a problem with one kli. Nira delula zechuchas mechashiv ka'ol b'fnei atzmu v'gavoa asara airi v'koveya v'kotev v'chashiv tfei. Maybe if it's above 10 tfachim would be okay. But he doesn't want to rely. V'amash kasev atazim makom tinofes mahani kisui zechuchas kasev detzarech iyan me'akshir mischavin she'yisroa hasham yeshlomer degara dehu atzmu boig giluya lo mechashiv kol kachl mechitza. But because it's only... it's only one thing. It's not. It's still going to be considered to be somewhat open. So therefore, you should, if it's a room where there's tashmish going on, it needs to have two coverings. If it's a room where a person is, what the conclusion is. Okay, but the. But the standard practice is to allow two coverings, even if one of them is see-through. So potentially it might not be the see-through one on the outside. Sometimes it might be the see-through one on the inside. So to use like a wax paper or something like that to cover it on the inside, and then to have a solid one on the outside, it sounds like even that should be permissible, so long as your kavana when you put the wax paper on was for it to be a separation, and not just protecting the mezuzah itself. Okay, so that is... that din. I was just show one more detail. That's on page 5. There is a chumrah. I'm not sure if anybody really observes this chumrah, but there is a chumrah with regard to cases that the quoted from the Gra. That the Gra says, did I only put up one page? Oh no, there it is. Okay. That the Gra said. Did I put the right thing here? Yeah. So he says, why do you have a cover? So in Ches on top it says, this is from Sefer HaMezuzah, La'achar ha'glila yesh latavus ha'mezuzah la'achnisa l'tilk nartik, you should put in a case, ki la'hagin ala shalot tiskalkel martivos v'chadomah, so that it would not be damaged from things. He says, v'ra, and then si ha'ara yud tes. So I always found it odd when the above the line is telling you to see a footnote below the line. But he says here, B'sefer Maisa Rav, Kasa B'Shem Hagra, Shul Lichrok Kasa Mezuzah B'Klaf, Shul Lo Yei Hefzik Davar Bein HaMezuzah L'Mezuzah HaPesach. That if you have the mezuzah that's wrapped in something else, you shouldn't wrap it in something else such that there be a separation between the klaf and the doorpost, because that's a hefzik. So too with mezuzah cases. So most mezuzah cases have a back. So the Gra would be against having a back to the mezuzah case. I don't know if even Grunix are machmer on this. Right? And Mikdash Ma'at says, the Piskei Tshuva quotes it. The Mikdash Ma'at says that it's a good idea because the Gra said it, and many argue on it. And see the long source here, why that would be, because technically it's very hard to understand why just putting up a piece of plastic on the door frame now makes it separate from the door frame. Meaning if you put a piece of plastic on the door frame as the back of the mezuzah, so what do we call that piece of plastic in halacha? We call that the door frame, right? We call that the back. So to say that there has to be, there can't be a hefzik, that is a big chumrah. I don't know if people are machbet on this. And generally speaking, unless one is a big grunik, I don't recommend it, because especially for outdoor mezuzahs, stuff can get inside and ruin the mezuzahs. I have seen it happen myself.
Put the mezuzah case interest you out of business. They all have backs on. The mezuzah cases all have backs on.
Right. Right, they all do, right, against this, I don't know, you can ask Bob Pransky if he was machmir on that Shita Sagra. I don't know if anybody was.
There's a back to it, but you don't have to put the back on.
Right, you don't have to put the back on.
Yeah. In my bedroom, I'm pretty sure, I never remember. If the door closes...
Right, it's only an issue if you have the mezuzah in the bedroom. If the door closes, so then, and the bedroom, and the mezuzah's on the outside of the door, so there's no issue with any of this stuff. So most of the bedrooms, there's no issue. Most children's bedrooms, for sure, there aren't. A lot of, like, master bedroom suites and things like that will actually have a mezuzah in the room, and sometimes there's, like, alcoves that sometimes require a mezuzah, especially in, like, funny Lower Merion houses. there's often these, like, alcoves off the side of rooms that sometimes have an archway that therefore make it require a mezuzah, even though I'm not so sure a lot of them do, whatever. We'll get to that a little bit later on, Hilchos mezuzah. All right, I got a kid to pick up. What?
The schools in Israel, and like in Shalit 7, they removed.
Right. There's even a more, I think we covered this one of the earlier, if a Jew owns the mezuzah, although I don't know who owns Shari Tzedek, I don't know if there real technically is an owner, but if it's a Jewish-owned building, we'll say, so then technically, some argue that it definitely requires a mezuzah, regardless of who's in the room, because you own the room for the purpose of having people there. That argument exists. But it might not apply if you're a hotel guest. A hotel guest is not the same as a hospital guest. A hotel guest, you would consider the person a renter of the room. A hospital guest, I think you might be probably charging him more for the procedures. I don't know. I'm not sure. But
Right, I hear.
Like in Yeshiva University, every room has a mezuzah on it, and nobody takes it down at the end of the year. Technically, it's the obligation is on the people living in the room to put a mezuzah up. But,
I'm really talking to the bed pans and other things that are being used in the rooms. But I guess the mezuzah is outside the room.
Right, so first of all, it's outside the room. Second of all, I'm not sure how regular that is, meaning not every room has that situation going on in it, that there's bedpans and things like that. So I'm not sure how you weigh that. But yeah, having the mezuzah outside the room is probably better in these circumstances. All right, I gotta bounce here. Okay, have a good evening. Yeshikoach. All right, Ricky, ready to go?